Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Let's Talk Cobra Kai. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
Well, Sal, here we are at a milestone. Season 2 finale.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a journey. I feel like this is the odyssey.
It is the odyssey.
Thank you for bringing me on this journey, on this odyssey with you, Jason.
It wouldn't be the same without you, Sal. It would just be me talking with myself.
You would have gotten a nearly as talented person to take my place.
Nearly as talented. I would have tried. So, yeah, this is just amazing. It's bittersweet. It's great to finish season 2, but knowing that we're many months away from seeing what season 3 has in store, I'm a little sad.
Well, yes, I totally agree with you, but it's bittersweet because the sweet part is now everyone's on the same page.
Yes.
Me, you, everybody listening.
Yep.
We're all in the same place because I had to catch up.
You did.
Jason had to have me bring me up to speed.
I did.
Now, the conclusion of episode 10, yeah. Season 2, we're all on the same page now. We're all waiting for season 3 now.
That's right. And we will have time to do the Karate Kid 2 special episode.
Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3, next Karate Kid, and then the latest Karate Kid with Jaden Smith. Yeah. We're just going to go through the whole library.
I'm not sure when we'll schedule all of them, but next up is the sequel.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't checked out our special episode of The Karate Kid, which came out last season, please do. It's our number one podcast in regards to downloads or listens, and rightfully so, because there's probably more fans of The Karate Kid than Cobra Kai, but I believe that it will catch up.
Yeah. No, I'm ready. I'm ready for that. Now that season 2 is concluding, I will enter a state of mourning.
Yes.
And I need something to give me a pickup, and that will be Karate Kid 2's special episode.
All right. So, without further ado, here we go. And this episode is titled No Mercy. What a great title.
There's been no episodes called No Mercy until now?
This is the first No Mercy.
Wow. Okay.
It's a 9.6 rating on IMDb.
Wow.
Highest rated episode to date.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So season 1's finale was called Mercy. Season 2, episode 1 was Mercy Part 2. This is No Mercy.
Okay. So it brings it all back home.
And after we discuss this episode, it's a very fitting title.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we open up at the LaRusso's. And we can immediately tell that it was a passionate night last night for Daniel and Amanda.
I think when it first opens up and the camera follows the clothing along the floor going to the bed, we don't know who it is yet, right?
Oh, really? I did.
Did you?
Yes.
When they first show the clothing on the floor, I had to really rack my brain to remember who was wearing what. Otherwise, I thought it could have been Johnny and Carmen, right?
Yeah, but they don't live there. I knew we were at their house.
You knew we were at the LaRusso's right away.
And I also remember the episode prior, how it ended. And think back to this season. Daniel's come back from being on the sofa, being in the doghouse. This is a fitting end for season 1.
Okay, well, also, we have not seen Daniel and his wife, Amanda, in bed together before.
Yeah.
I don't think we have. So this is a very very tender scene with them snuggling in bed, reminiscing about the night before.
Very much.
And then Amanda says, "You don't think the kids heard us, do you?"
And Daniel says, "Well, they didn't hear me."
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, implying she was doing the moaning and the groaning.
But hello.
I did, as I was watching them in bed, they looked really good snuggling together. But I did think, yeah, we haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this side of their marriage.
Wait, is this what no mercy means?
He gave her no mercy the night before.
Sorry, that's too much. So now we see Daniel checking in on Sam, who hasn't been home.
Yeah, she's not there. And Daniel's like, "What's going on here?" And then Anthony walks by.
Yeah.
And Daniel says, "Have you seen your sister?" Anthony says, "Not since yesterday when I got home from camp." So this also tells the viewer where the hell Anthony's been this whole time.
Yeah.
He's been at camp.
At camp.
And then he asked
with Carmen's mom.
Yeah. And then he asked Daniel if he could make him some waffles.
Yeah.
But not the frozen kind, the ones you make from scratch.
Yeah, but he's in full crisis mode, as Amanda is as well. And rightfully so. Their teenage daughter, who makes good choices in life, has not come home, hasn't called, hasn't texted. And they're calling her. It's going to voicemail. Listen, if I was a parent of a teenager or a parent at all and my kid was missing, I'm in full crisis mode.
Especially, it's not like she's done this before where she hasn't come home because she was at Yasmin's or she was at Moon's.
Right.
Right? She hasn't vanished like
this before. Or Aisha's, more likely.
Or Aisha's, okay. In other words, this is out of character.
Yeah, it's new territory. So they go into Samantha's room and Amanda knows the password to Sam's computer.
Yeah.
And she says what?
She says something like, not right now. Like, let's not get into this now.
Yeah, because Daniel's
like, what? You know the password? Because he couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Because there was a message showed up, but it said you needed the password to read the message. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But then Amanda knows the password. Yeah.
So they do. And there's messages on there. And they start to reveal that Samantha was drunk last night. And the cops had come to wherever they were. Mm-hmm. And now they're really starting to panic.
Yeah. Aisha's saying, are you okay? I can't believe the cops came. Yeah. So you're the parents reading this. You start
freaking out.
This
is your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
But Daniel has a great plan here. And he goes to his phone to do Find My iPhone. And he can apparently track Sam's phone. Probably because they're on the same family plan. Whatever. Hey, I'm buying it. And I love how it pinpoints somewhere between Sherman Way and Satcoy. And then Amanda has the great line, please take it away.
What's she doing in Reseda? I thought that was so funny.
That could be the name of the episode. That is so funny.
The name of the episode could be Reseda. And what's funny also, if you're a Valleyite as myself, is that the way she says that you think this is a world away. Reseda is 4.5 miles from Encino.
Yeah.
And yet she's like, what? What's she doing in Reseda?
What in the world would have possessed her to go to Reseda? That's so funny.
She must be slumming it.
So now we're at Johnny's apartment and Sam is sleeping while Robbie looks through boxes of his childhood items, it appears.
Yeah, he sees some old crayon pictures drawn by him. One dedicated to Daddy says, to Daddy, love Robbie. So real sentimental, nostalgic stuff about when he was a little kid.
Some trophies as well. Although I think those were Johnny's.
I didn't know.
But I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Well,
could have been his soccer champ trophy.
He could have been a soccer trophy.
2010.
Yeah. We don't know what those trophies were, but obviously something of sentimental value.
Right.
And then the pictures. So Robbie's starting to, what, develop a little more of attachment to his dad right now.
Right. Yeah. And meanwhile, Johnny's cooking up his classic bologna breakfast.
Frying bologna in a pan.
Well, he's really got that dish down, I gotta say.
I must say I have done that, but like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in
Johnny
a very long
never
time.
Stopped doing that. So then Robbie enters and he asks his father, Johnny, not to tell Daniel what happened with Samantha. That he'll take the fall, if you will.
Yeah, because Johnny says, I'm going to have to tell LaRusso about this. It's his kid.
Yeah.
Robbie says, no, I'm going to take the blame. And I think that Johnny respects that his son is willing to take the blame on this.
Exactly. And he understands. But then we cut to Daniel, who's pulling in the driveway. And what's he spot?
This is an interesting moment for Daniel because you're pulling into the driveway. You're seeing the Cobra Kai car that you just saw the night before.
Yep.
So you know that's Johnny's car. You know your phone is in there. So what's going through Daniel's head right now?
Well, he's just tracking this device. He's looking at the blue dot and he's led to, you know, apartment number 2.
Okay, I was going to ask how he knew what apartment, but I guess
I think it just took him
the
there.
App just tells him right where to go.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he knocks on the door, and what happens?
Johnny answers the door. Daniel demands to be let in.
Right. Because he doesn't know what's going on.
No, Johnny's like, hey, relax. But this is one of those moments.
I know.
Just like we talked about.
Yeah, take a beat. Take 5 minutes and explain the situation.
Yeah.
Johnny's like, hey, they're kids. They make mistakes. And Daniel's not having it.
No. And then he gets into karate mode, kicks the door in.
Which slams into Johnny's head.
Yeah, his nose. He touched his nose, right?
Yeah.
And then, boom, we're having a flashback montage sequence from 1984. And it almost appeared like the moves are replicated again.
Yeah,
right?
They have never squared off, Sal, since 1984's All Valley.
And they were literally doing the same moves.
Here they are in this, like, tiny area, this little living room of Johnny's, and they're going at it.
I was waiting for Daniel to do the crane. I was like, because they're going, when they do the flashback montage,
right,
they're going move for move. I'm thinking, well, the crane is next. Daniel's going to do the crane in Johnny's living room.
So he hits Johnny and knocks him down or knocks him back. So then Johnny grabs Daniel by his shoulders as he walks away to go search for Samantha, right? Pulls him back in the living room and then sidekicks him into the flat screen TV, yeah, crushing his TV.
TV's gone.
So we're off script from 84's All Valley at this point in time.
We've gone to the streets here.
To the streets.
They're about to go in for the kill, both of them.
Yeah, they're both there face to face, locked in, and then...
And then Robbie and Sam come in, break it up.
Yep.
Robbie's here trying to take the blame, as was planned.
And Daniel's pissed.
No, Daniel says something like, you want to end up like him?
Yeah.
Go ahead, makes Sam leave with them, drags her out, slams the door on his way out.
Yep.
And this is like kind of crushing because whatever bond Daniel and Johnny had built the night before on their quote unquote double date,
yeah,
gone now.
This is much like the day they did the test drive. They went to Seven Seas. They went to the bar. They came back to Daniel's house at the end of the night to kind of do the Rocky III spar, if you will, and Robbie was there, and all that goodwill, all that friendship building out the window.
Yeah.
Also in that moment, Robbie was left with nothing.
Yeah, he had no dad and no sensei at that moment.
This time, however, Johnny's got his back.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Well, Daniel, though, loses his student in the moment, right?
For the moment.
For the moment, Daniel, I mean, because, right, he say something like he refers to Robbie, this is a mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
At that moment, that's it. He's not a sensei anymore.
At that moment.
At that moment, right?
But as you and I both know, Daniel and Johnny, for that matter, have hot heads. They tend to blow up. So we'll just see where things lie. But at this moment in time, Robbie is no longer in Miyagi-Do dojo.
And yeah, Daniel drags Sam and they're out the door. And then boom, there's the Cobra Kai logo. It's like, wow, what an entrance into this episode.
No doubt. So now we're at West Valley High School with the infamous Bananarama track plane, Cruel Summer, which, Sal, if I'm not mistaken, was also in The Karate Kid on opening day of school for a similar montage. Well, leave it to these show's runners to bring it back around.
I do think it's an interesting choice, though, because officially summer's over, right? Yeah, school starting?
That's what the original did.
Okay, they did that.
Cruel Summer, and there was soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was playing, and he got in the fight with the Cobra Kai's on the field.
Well, actually, I think that based on when school starts and when summer ends, there may be a week or two left of summer officially.
Yeah, but it was a cruel summer. It's a reflective song.
Oh, I see. Reflective on what had occurred.
Yeah. And just a little aside, a couple weeks ago, I took my dog for a walk in the Woodland Hills area and stumbled upon the high school of which they filmed The Karate Kid.
Which high school is that?
That is Charles Evans Hughes Junior High School. And I peeked through, you know, one of the fences and you could see the beautiful courtyard where Allie and Daniel had some scenes together. It looked as if it did 35 years ago. And then I looked it up on my phone and I also filmed Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 there as well, as the Mark Harmon comedy Summer School, which is great. So right there in the neighborhood, in the valley, but I'm going to suspect that this particular school is probably in Atlanta.
Unfortunately, yes, I probably would say. But it's interesting that they turn these junior highs, or now called middle schools, into high schools for television and movies.
Yeah. Well, who knows what this one was 35 years ago, but that was the location.
Interesting. Never heard of that junior high either.
Right? Now we see Miguel, who is trying to contact Tori, but no luck.
No, and even Aisha walks over, still nothing from Tori. Miguel asks, what about you? And Aisha says, she won't text me back.
Yeah.
And Aisha says, missing the first day of school, not a good sign.
And Sal, this seems to be a very common thing for Miguel. Miguel dates girl, then can't reach girl on the phone. He seems to have these problems.
Well, I'm no psychotherapist, but people tend to date similar types.
Yes.
You know, like if you complain about your boyfriend or girlfriend now, your next boyfriend or girlfriend probably be the same.
Right.
You know, we choose what in Jungian philosophy they would call the archetypes.
Yeah.
We choose certain archetypes, you know, make or break, good or bad.
I think you're right. And that's probably why Sam has chosen some of these same guys as well, our characters.
Sure.
Kyler to Miguel, although Miguel's quite sweet, and Robbie, who's also become a good guy, but they have similar characteristics, if you will.
Well, like Sam doesn't date a guy like Dimitri.
No.
Right?
Or Eli.
Or Eli or Stingray. I mean, you know, there is a certain kind of guy.
Well, that would be weird. That would be illegal.
That would be. But yeah, there's a certain kind of guy that Sam goes for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So next we see Daniel pull up to the school and he's dropping Sam off because, well, she's grounded and she has no car access right now.
I am thinking, and I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, why doesn't Sam go to a private school? Why is she going to a public school with the rest of the riffraff?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, I would imagine somebody like the LaRussos. I mean, they have country club memberships. They obviously have money.
Yeah. Well, look at Aisha. She also goes to school here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good school.
Well, it makes sense for the show that they all go to school together. But I think in real life, both Aisha and Sam would be in private school.
That's a good point.
Probably like something like at least maybe Notre Dame, maybe like a Catholic school.
Yeah. The scene's kind of funny, and it kind of reminds me of The Breakfast Club, as parents pulled up and dropped their kid off up front, and they were just embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Sam's like, oh, did you have to come right up front?
Yeah.
Like, that's the place you got to drop me off?
Were you that way growing up? Did your parents drop you off at school ever?
My mom never dropped me off. I caught the bus to school. But my older siblings, though, before I came along into the family, I'm the last born, my older siblings sort of had a different life. And my mother had this old beater car, and my older siblings would have my mother drop them off around the corner from school.
For sure.
They were not having my mother drop them off in this old beat up Buick.
So what'd they do to you when they dropped you off?
Well, no, I caught the bus.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I caught the bus to school. I was, my mom, believe me, when
the beater wasn't working by that point.
No, my mom was like, here's your bus pass. There you go. You know, no, I don't think I ever got dropped off to school. I have no recollection of ever being dropped off to school.
I remember it. Not all the time. I would take the bus as well, but there were times when they did drop me off, and it wasn't even the car, which was fine. I was just embarrassed to be seen with my parents at that certain age.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And like a sporting event or a party, if your friends are throwing one of those innocent parties in middle school and high school. Well, less innocent in high school. And I'd be like, no, drop me off around the corner. I would purposely want that, just like your siblings.
Yeah, but since we're talking, the first day of seventh grade, which was the first day of junior high, now called middle school. First day of seventh grade, my mother tagged along with me the whole day. I mean, I didn't see other parents doing this.
Wow.
But my mother, because, you know, it was new. I just come out of elementary school. I'm now in junior high, seventh grade. My mother was with me the whole entire day, class to class. Wow. That trumps any beater car drop-off in any book.
You're still dealing with this.
It haunts me to this day.
To this day. It's okay. We'll work this out later.
But I like also when Sam is like, I made a mistake. She says she's sorry.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. And Daniel's like, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? But you got to suffer the consequences though anyway.
So now we cut over to Johnny dropping Robbie off. So now Robbie, we're making the assumption that he is now living with Johnny.
Yeah, I think so. Because his mother's in rehab. If his mother's in rehab, I'm thinking the apartment's gone now.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Then they had the eviction notice on there.
So that's
the apartment's gone.
And Robbie probably didn't go to retrieve his stuff. He's probably just staying at Johnny's. And Johnny went to go get some school supplies.
Yeah.
And then says, I tried to get you one of those trapper keepers. Are those things still cool?
Yeah. And Johnny says, I had one that had a fighter jet on it. So I looked this up. I went to eBay and I wanted to see, was there a trapper keeper with a jet on it? And yes, there was. One on eBay right now says 1989 Trapper Keeper with a jet, $45.99 plus $10 shipping. So for $56, you can have your very own Trapper Keeper with a jet, just like Johnny Lawrence.
You should get that and have William Zatka sign it.
Wow.
How about that?
That he will sign that and my action figure.
So, well, did you have a Trapper Keeper?
You know what? I was in the peachy folder crowd. Because when you have the peachy folder, you can draw.
Okay.
Remember, like, the basketball becomes a bomb. Did you ever do that?
Nope.
So you remember how the peachy
folder? I was a trapper keeper guy.
Okay. Did you ever have a peachy folder?
No.
Okay. Do you know what the peachy folder is?
No, I feel like Robbie at this point. I have no idea.
Okay.
What
peachy
about.
Folder predated trapper keeper. Peachy
this
folder.
This is a tongue twister.
Yeah. No, I never had a trapper keeper, though. I had the peachy folder. When we go off the air, I'll show you the peachy folder.
Let's just say peachy folder some more.
Peachy folder. Peachy folder.
Anyway, moving on.
But Robbie says he feels bad about Sam and the LaRussos. And then he says, I know you don't want to hear this, but LaRusso was good to me and Miyagi-Do Karate helped me a lot.
And then Robbie adds that Johnny and Daniel could learn a thing or two from each other. Well said. Well said.
What if Johnny and Daniel teamed up and merged their strengths and lost their resentment?
Be amazing.
Oh my God.
But
believe me, I've thought
about
this.
There'd be no arch rival or any nemesis. Oh, I guess Kreese.
Well, they could both live to hate Kreese. But I thought about what it would be called. Miyagi-Do Cobra, Cobra Miyagi.
Miyagi-Kai.
Miyagi-Kai, I like that.
Yeah. We could practice the drunken crane, which is sweeping the nation. Not so much. Okay, so then Johnny gets a call from Miguel, and he has it go straight to voicemail.
Yeah, well, you know, here's Johnny talking to his son in the car, first day of school. Yeah. And then Miguel calls you. It's one of those moments we've probably all been, you get an important call, but you're doing something important. He had to let it go to voicemail. He did. He had to. It was one of those crossroads moments. I don't know. Did you think like he had to literally choose between his own son and Miguel, who he's pledged allegiance to in previous episodes? I don't think anybody could say he had any choice in that matter but to let it go to voicemail.
I think it's innocent. It was bad timing.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, I'm deleting your contact from my phone.
He wasn't just sitting drinking a Coors Banquet.
No. He loves Miguel.
Yeah.
He cares for him. Cares for Miguel's mother.
Sure.
Bad timing.
Yeah. So Miguel is calling Johnny on his phone, and we hear Johnny's answer machine, which is hilarious. Johnny's answer machine says, hello, you've reached the smartphone answer machine of Johnny Lawrence.
So funny.
So non-tech.
Earlier in the episode, Johnny's phone continues to make these notification noises because it wants to install things.
No, he wants to do an update. He's like, update, I just got this thing.
And Johnny is just besides himself with this phone. I'm surprised he knew how to create a voicemail.
Yeah, I don't even know if I know how to create a voicemail. No, I have a voicemail. I do.
So now we're inside the school, and Robbie approaches Sam, and they're chatting.
Yeah.
Because they can at least talk inside the confines of the school, although their parents are keeping them apart Romeo and Juliet style.
Sure.
On the outside.
But Sam says she feels like an idiot. I should have gone to my house, been honest with my parents. I'm sorry. Robbie says, no, it's my fault too. From now on, no more lying.
And what else does he tell her?
He tells her about the Medal of Honor, what he really did, how he got it from Miguel. He lays it all out there. She says, thank you. And is just about to tell him something. She says, Robbie. And when she said Robbie, I know what she was about to tell
him. Oh, yeah. She's going to come clean.
You think she's going to tell him, I just want to be friends?
No, I think she's going to tell him about the kiss.
Oh,
that's what I thought. Like, he came clean. And listen, he was wrong for doing it, Sal. But I did like that he explained it. And it was sweet. It was for good. I understood his reasoning. He shouldn't have lied. He should have explained this to Sam. So I think Sam knowing this and hearing someone come clean, someone that she cares and probably loves, it meant a lot to hear. But I believe that she was going to explain the kiss. That was what I thought.
Okay, so we know now that she still has feelings for Miguel. So because she has feelings for Miguel, I thought that that would then negate her feelings towards Robbie. That then she would have to tell Robbie, Robbie, I'm still in love with Miguel.
You know what?
That's what I thought she was going to say.
It could have been that. But I think she wanted to shed that guilt.
You think she was going to tell Robbie that she had kissed Miguel?
And maybe that would have led to that, what you're saying.
Yeah.
She would have said, listen, this happened at the party. Mm-hmm. He kissed me. It made me think. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was a much bigger, I don't know, but she was going to share because she's holding this in. So that's what I was thinking.
Okay, but then all of a sudden, boom, school bell.
School bell. Saved by the bell. Of which you were an extra on from time
indeed.
To time.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, hello.
Nice shout out. So now we see a common ritual in high schools is that there's a PA system. And they make announcements.
Sure.
And oftentimes it's a student and they're going to go in there and they're going to share with the events, if you will. It's not always the principal. It's not always the vice principal. I don't even know who it was in this scene, if she was a student or a teacher.
She could have been either way.
Right. Yeah. Either way. She looked young. So she goes in there and starts making the daily announcements. First day of school, a lot to cover.
Sure.
And now we see Hawk and Miguel in a classroom. Naturally, they're in the same class and side by side, no less. And Hawk loves that Miguel kissed Sam.
Yeah, he's like, you kiss Sam? Nice. And doesn't Miguel say, not nice?
And Miguel is brooding. And Sal, this also is a common occurrence with Miguel. And I believe it reminds me of Dylan McKay from 90210. Rest in peace, Luke Perry. Love you. Miss you. You were amazing. But his character was constantly brooding through the whole series.
Yeah.
And I love Miguel, but man, he gets hung up on these women.
I know from experience in my younger years, when I was caught between two women, you might think how good it's going to feel. You're going to feel like a stud. When I was between two women, it doesn't feel good.
Is this a Sal humble brag?
No, because you know what? I think that it's normal for a heterosexual young man to be like, hey, look, I got this girl, I got that girl. But when I was actually had to come face to face with, like, I once had a girlfriend on the phone fighting with another girl on the phone, and it just didn't feel good. It didn't make me feel awesome.
Yeah.
It made me feel like crap. So in other words, the fantasy versus the reality.
Well, I wouldn't even say Miguel's stuck between two women. I don't think that's the case. I think Tori's not getting back to me. What happened to her? We're close. Go back several episodes and Sam won't get back to me. I don't know what's going on. It seems to be a common occurrence. He's just so sweet and nice that I feel bad for him, but he is becoming a little too much of this.
So Miguel gets ghosted.
He's getting ghosted constantly.
Poor Miguel.
So then Hawk goes on to say that he's going to have a full rotation of girls by midterm.
Yeah.
But his coolness is quickly faded as what happens.
This guy walks by, stops at Hawk, says, hey, man, just wanted to let you know I wet the bed until I was 13. Yeah. Hawk wants none of this. He knocks the books down. Yeah, get like, the hell out of my face.
And Miguel's like, what was that all about?
Yeah, because Miguel wasn't there at the Dimitri roast.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't in the room.
Yeah, right. He missed the invitation.
So yeah, so that's what that was, a callback to Dimitri's roast of Eli at Moon's party.
So now we're in the principal's office, and Sal, this is hilarious. Stingray is on campus, on opening day of school.
In a suit.
In a suit. He doesn't have the duct-taped 40s on his hands. He's applying for a security guard job, and I love that he's got no experience.
No.
But he did do what?
Yeah. He has no actual quote-unquote experience. But yeah, he brings up his success at the Red versus Black Coyote Creek. And he shows the red headband.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, a pretty big deal in the karate community.
Yeah.
And then he says, and you will be seeing a yellow belt across my waist very soon.
And this principal is just like, what am I doing with this guy? Which is hilarious scene.
And then I love that he asks, what is the teacher's lounge situation looking like?
Yeah, I don't know. Are there any hot babes in there? Is there good food?
What's in those vending machines? That's what I want to know.
Gosh, gotta love Stingray. I want to know how he got this meeting. Principal's got to be busy on opening day.
Yeah.
And he just showed up. He just dropped in for a quick impromptu interview. It's hilarious. The principal is doing a good job to entertain him and putting him on, but I'm not sure where this is going.
It just goes to show you how easy it is to fake out these school administrators and faculty. I mean, look at what Robbie did before with these fake transcripts. And look at what Stingray's able to do, how he's able to get in the door.
Yeah, I'm surprised you can get into a high school.
Especially today, in today's day and age, sure.
But I don't know how Stingray, who looks like he does, a little menacing with his, you know, his goatee, if you will.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he had an appointment with the principal.
Yeah, but how did he even do that?
Yeah.
Kind of unbelievable.
That's getting into the top brass on your first interview.
Yeah.
You would think they would have some sort of secretary interviewing you at first, but he's talking with the principal.
So now, what is going on in the announcement room?
Well, we're hearing the PA announcements, per the usual. Then you hear a commotion.
Right.
And then we learn that Tori has pushed aside this student teacher or whoever she was. She has commandeered the PA system for the entire school to hear. And she says, quote, Samantha LaRusso, you know what you did, and now you're going to pay for it. I'm coming for you, bitch.
Yes.
Holy cow.
First day of school.
Everyone hears this.
By the way,
Samantha hears this.
I think it's Tori's first day of school, as it is Robbie, at this particular school.
Yeah.
it's everyone's first day of school, but they've never been there before, as far as we know.
No.
So I like how we cut to Robbie, Miguel, Sam, and we see their reactions to what has just occurred.
I mean, this is reminiscent of 3 o'clock High, right?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very reminiscent.
Shit is going down.
And per usual, this episode, the bell rings. These are very short classes, Sal.
Yeah.
And the showdown is on.
Everybody runs into the hallways. Miguel starts running.
As does Robbie.
Robbie starts running. Sam and Tori meet head to head in the school hallway. Crowd starts gathering around.
Like they do in these situations.
Oh, you kidding me? A fight erupts outside the studio. I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah.
Tori says, I saw what you did at the party. You kissed Miguel. Robbie overhears this. He sees this happening.
Can't believe it.
Oh, he's getting his heart crushed at this moment. Tori goes for it. They start fighting. Sam versus Tori.
Yeah, this is amazing.
This is the moment we're waiting for since the beginning of the previous episode.
Exactly.
This is the buildup. This is the culmination of the build of the bad blood.
And as you said last episode, you don't think Tori could get bested. And it starts out that way. But Tori has rage.
Yeah.
When someone's more mad than the other person, it's hard to get to that level right away. Samantha's like defensive, also mad, but not as upset as Tori is. And initially, Tori is doing quite well in this match.
I think that any coach or sensei would tell you that rage does not operate in your favor. I know that as a fan of UFC for many years, especially following a certain fighting school out of Albuquerque, I think it's the Winklejohn school, Jackson Winklejohn, I think it is. The coaches are always telling their fighters, relax, in between rounds, relax,
right. Relax,
breathe, relax. So yeah, Tori is full of rage, and unfortunately that may come back to bite her in the ass.
It's a good starter. Like, she comes out hot and heavy.
It's an incentive.
If you could knock someone out the way Mike Tyson used to do right away, sure. Great.
Yeah.
But Sam's weathering the storm. However, it's not looking good. And if I'm not mistaken, Robbie intervenes.
He tries to intervene, but then, and he's actually trying to make peace. He intervenes. He's like, I'm sure we can talk this out.
But Miguel doesn't see it that way as he rounds the corner.
No, Miguel goes for it.
He tackles him.
Robbie.
Yeah, tackles him. And now, Sal, it is escalating very quickly. And you know, amongst us, we have Miyagi-Do students. We have Cobra Kai students. Bad blood everywhere. Best friends on opposite sides of the lines.
Yeah. Chris says to Dimitri, we got to do something. Dimitri says, I'm going to get a teacher. And he runs off.
Yeah, I'm out.
That's his version of doing something. And then Miguel and Robbie continue to fight. Sam and Tori are fighting.
All that was missing was the infamous Carl Douglas kung fu fighting track.
Yeah.
That's all we're missing.
That would have been funny.
That would have been very funny.
And then Hawk arrives.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's party time.
And he says, it's on.
Yeah. He starts kicking everybody's ass in his
whoever. Miyagi-Do students, whoever's in his way.
This is where, as I'm watching this, especially at this moment when the war is now on, is when I'm realizing that effectively what has occurred is that Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai are gangs.
Right.
That's what's happened here.
Yeah.
Underneath everybody's noses, your kids are in a gang.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's very warriors. You're right.
Yeah. So that's what's happening now. These two rival gangs are fighting.
That's a good point.
Everyone's facing everyone.
You have Aisha in the mix.
She kicks a guy's ass.
As you said, Hawk is destroying people.
Okay, how about this? Moon arrives, tries to make peace, and uses the famous quote, come on, guys, can't we all just get along? Made famous by Rodney King.
Oh, my gosh.
After the LA riots.
Wow.
Can't we all just get along? So surely that was the homage to King Moon says that.
Good callback. And now Robbie and Miguel are in the midst of an epic battle. And as are Tori and Sam, as Samantha has made a serious comeback.
Yeah, they keep going back and forth. I mean, Samantha best Tori, Tori best Samantha. They keep going back and forth, very evenly matched. Again, surprising to me, when I saw the montage from the previous episode, I thought there's no way Sam can beat Tori. But they're going back and forth, and Sam, you know what? Sam has a lot of skills. For what she lacks in the rage department, she makes up for in the skills department.
I agree. And I've always said that Robbie and Miguel are very evenly matched as well.
Yeah.
And if they fought 10 times, it might be 5-5.
Sure.
I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And what cracks me up is no teachers to be seen.
Well, not yet. We're going to see some funny moments.
I mean, the fight's already been going on for a while. It was already someone called out on a PA system. You think they would have been on high alert, especially this day and age in high school.
I'm almost imagining that if this were real life, the police would have been on their way already.
Yeah.
But then funny thing is, so now Stingray arrives as the principal is calling security. Stingray says, "It's okay, sir. I got this."
Oh, my gosh.
He walks into the hallway, starts kicking people's asses, high fives Hawk.
Well, he's kicking Miyagi-Do asses, and he knows the Cobra Kai folks, so he's high-fiving them.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, what's funny is if you're the principal and you see this guy.
What is going on here? He's selectively kicking ass and buddying up with the others.
And then Dimitri arrives with a teacher. Dimitri says, "You got to do something." I think it was Mr. Palmer. And then this Mr. Palmer sees another teacher get flipped, winds up on his back. The teacher says, "Screw this. They don't pay me enough." He's out of there.
He's gone. You know what? I don't blame him in this situation.
You know what? If you want me to fight, you got to pay me to fight. That's how I feel. That's how I am at work. You want me to fight? Pay me to fight.
The fight begins to spill into the main corridor. Because before it was in the little bitty hallways, like a labyrinth. This is in a much bigger space. So I'll maybe kind of describe the scene for the listener.
Sort of a lobby area of a taller building, right? Because then you have stairways going this way. You got lockers going that way. Halls going that way. This is where you have the trophy case.
And there's also a place above that you can look down below you. So it's a more open area.
Sort of the center area. If it were an office building, it would be the lobby area.
Right.
But in high school, it's just sort of an entranceway.
Right.
And then I like when Miguel headbutts Robbie and he says, "This is a dig. Like that move? I learned it from your dad."
Ouch.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
A parallel would be, "Oh, you like that move? I learned it from your girlfriend." You know?
Hello.
Yeah. It was a total dig. That line, I would imagine, hurt Robbie as much as Miguel's punches.
As much as the headbutt.
Yeah, probably so.
So then Hawk starts to stalk Dimitri, kind of like a horror film.
I'm telling you, this actor is so fantastic. I would not want Hawk to be pissed off at me.
That sequence was great, though, because it kind of just goes off script and then kind of like stalking him like Mike Myers would.
Yeah.
Or Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah. He is chasing. You have a prey and a predator happening right now.
Miguel gets to Tori to try to contain her, make sense, maybe try to put this thing out. And what does she do?
She gives Miguel a kick and knocks him down. And I think she did it as a way of saying, "Back off, I'm fighting."
Yeah, it's a good point.
She is a dominant personality.
Very much.
If she was like, "Back off." Especially Miguel, right? The whole reason she's fighting is because Samantha kissed Miguel.
Yeah.
Well, there was a backstory beyond that also. But that was what pushed her over the edge with Sam, was over Miguel. So she's not trying to have Miguel get in the way of her kicking her enemy's ass.
Yeah. And then while on the ground, Robbie comes running in, Miguel trips him, and then it just starts again.
Well, how about when Tori grabs Sam by the hair, drags her down the stairs.
She's pulling her down the stairs.
That's brutal.
She's revealed her spike bracelet, which scared you back in the day when Aisha first noticed it.
I knew it was a foreshadow.
You were focused on that.
Well,
smartly so.
Sam says, "Is that the way you know how to fight? Dirty?" That's what Sam says. And then Tori says, "This isn't a tournament. There are no rules." And she gets that spiked bracelet on
this
her fist.
This is like a knife, if you will.
Well, let's put it this way. If you were in a legitimate fight, it's something you would definitely want to have. It would be similar to brass knuckles.
I was going to say it's like brass knuckles, but it's also you have to hold it more like a weapon, like a knife.
And it's also you could wear it as a bracelet, so you could sneak it past security. You're not trying to sneak brass knuckles past security. It's just jewelry.
Yeah.
Holy cow. She put that on her fist, and I'm like, oh no, Sam.
So now Hawk finally catches Dimitri, and this is just too much. He kicks him a few times. He's taking it to Dimitri. But then some of this training starts to wash over Dimitri.
This is what I've talked about in previous episodes, when people can make a quantum leap.
Yeah.
When instead of going A, B, C, D, they jump from A to D somehow.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. This is where all the training comes to fruition. That quantum leap occurs. And all of a sudden, Dimitri is fighting Hawk, defending the attack.
Blocking the punches, blocking the kicks, turns him around, and what does he do?
So Hawk has his back to a trophy case.
Yep.
There in the middle of this hallway, a lobby area, rather. Dimitri delivers this kick. What kind of kick was this?
Crescent kick.
A crescent kick. I mean, out of nowhere. We haven't seen Dimitri do this
and
before.
And Dimitri's much taller and lankier than Hawk, so the crescent kick is easily hits him in the head.
Yeah. And then Hawk goes flying into this trophy display cabinet, crashing the display cabinet, falling out. Is he knocked out?
And glass everywhere. And yeah, I believe he's knocked out at least temporarily.
Okay. And then Dimitri says, sorry, Eli.
Yeah. And not an uncommon thing for us to see Eli or Hawk get knocked out. Let's not forget the food court as he came in for the Superman punch.
Yeah.
And Robbie knocked him out.
Yeah.
So he has taken his lumps along the way.
Well, you know,
rage, though, burns inside Hawk.
That's true. Yeah, he does have a lot of rage and a lot of resentment and anger. But he has this mentality. One of my favorite fighters in the UFC, Wanderlei Silva from Brazil. The idea is, if you expect to knock somebody out, you have to risk getting knocked out. Right. So Hawk, he goes for it, man. He is there to fight. And unfortunately, he winds up on his back sometimes. Yeah. But he is definitely down for the fight.
That's like a great home run hitter is going to strike out a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Hawk will grow and he'll have more mass. He's also not the biggest guy, but he's very intimidating.
Yeah.
And very alpha, if you will. Yeah.
Well, the mohawk gives him like 6 inches in height.
That's true, too.
I need a mohawk is what I
need. You do. You need a gi and a mohawk and a tattoo. A lot of things are going to happen in the offseason.
Wait till season 3. I'm going to flip the script.
Oh, my gosh. It'll be like the new Stingray. So now it's down to 4. And Tori's using her bracelet like a knife, while you can see rage in Robbie over the kiss that Miguel and Sam shared. You can see what's fueling Robbie now.
Is that what it is?
He's locked in on that.
Okay.
He's mad. Had that not happened? No, he could. Yeah. We've seen a peaceful side of Robbie.
Yeah.
Much like we've seen a peaceful side of Miguel. But Robbie is given into the dark side in this moment.
What's been happening along the way? Robbie has been falling in love with Samantha.
And the LaRussos as a whole.
Yeah.
The life.
Yeah. We're almost seeing a near orphan. A near orphan.
Right.
Being welcomed into a family. And then getting together with their young, beautiful daughter.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
and now he's ostracized.
Yeah.
And he's pissed. And he finds out her ex has moved in and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All these hormones and all of that stuff that teenagers deal with.
So Tori has these spikes in her fist. Cuts would be like Samantha's bicep area.
Yeah.
The inside of her bicep. Yeah. But then Sam throws Tori over the handrail. She goes down into another staircase. So at this point
and in knocks time, her out, it seems like.
Sam has beaten Tori.
Yeah. The last second, she blocked the knife the last time and then countered and knocked her out.
And you know what this proves to me is that Sam is a badass fighter.
Yeah.
Because Tori is a bad chick. Again, reminiscent of Faith from you Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans. I would say that Tori reminded me of Faith a little bit in her attitude and kick-ass personality.
Right.
Sam won. Sam is badass.
Yeah. As is Tori, but you know, you're going to have a winner, you're going to have a loser.
But do you think this is one of these things where were Tori and Sam to fight again in the future? It's anybody's game.
I feel the same way I do about them as I do Robbie and Miguel. If Sam and Tori fought 10 times without a bracelet, without a spiked bracelet, it might be 5-5, 6-4.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
Yeah, and I think Tori's a little bit taller than Sam, I think, right?
I'm talking about inner ring point system.
Okay.
So Miguel finally has Robbie down.
Yeah.
And can put him away. Kill him.
Well, he's got him in some sort of arm lock position where he could definitely dislocate his shoulder at very least.
Hurt him severely, knock him out. He's exposed. His head's exposed.
Yeah, he's got him.
And starts to flash back to scenes with Johnny.
Yeah.
About showing mercy and making the right decisions and all that stuff.
Well, do you think also, it would allude to it only, I think, where Miguel is having all these thoughts of Johnny in his head, the training, the respect and love and reverence he has for his sensei.
Yeah.
And this is his sensei's son.
I know.
Down at your feet.
Yeah.
So then, boom, he gives him the mercy.
Because no matter what he does now, he's going to further upset his sensei.
Yeah.
And he was taught. This is it. He's got him down. Game over.
Yeah, he's won officially.
I've won.
Yeah.
But then what happens?
Oh. Miguel releases Robbie's arm and he says, I'm sorry.
He does.
But Robbie jumps up, kicks Miguel backwards over a railing. Miguel falls backward over the railing onto the floor below, hitting his back against a rail. I mean,
it's like he fell a whole floor. Unlike Tori that slipped down some stairs and got knocked out. No, Miguel went over a railing, yes, fell a floor, yes, a whole story.
Yeah, back to rail.
Back to rail, which looks like immediate broken back.
Yeah.
Or worse. Or yeah, worse.
Yeah, really bad.
And when Robbie got up, he screamed and he was mad. And Miguel wasn't even ready for it. The fight was over, but the rage, yeah, took over, man.
Yeah. And so Miguel falls down, hits the ground, unconscious.
Oh, terrible.
And then Sam sees this. She says, Robbie, what did you do?
Yeah.
And then Robbie's like, holy cow, he runs off.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
And then Miguel's laying there motionless on the ground.
Hawk goes over. All of a sudden, I believe there's a security guard, yeah, of some sort.
Sort of official.
And they're coming in because you don't even want to move someone after that. You don't know what's wrong.
Well, no, technically, you know, I mean, I'm no paramedic, but if somebody's laying there after a fall, you got to be careful how you move them.
They could have a neck.
Yeah, could have a broken neck. You got to be real careful there. So,
He may never walk again. We don't know how bad this is.
No, we don't know. All we know is that he's on the ground after a major fall, unconscious. Oh boy, this is not good.
First day of school.
This is the first day of school.
People are filming it on their phones. This thing is going to be the biggest fight ever on the internet in high school.
Yeah. I mean, it's on all the news immediately.
Because most fights that they ever film in high school, they don't even know how to fight. This fight went on for 20 minutes.
Well, if you're a fight fan like myself who watches all levels of fighting on YouTube all the damn time.
All the high school fights you can get your hands on.
Yeah, you know what you see is people are bad at filming.
Yeah, that's true too.
Every time I'm watching a great high school fight, I'm like, can you get somebody who knows how to film, please?
But you've never seen something like this.
Oh, no, this is major. This was a war. This was a gang war.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
You think Stingray got the job?
Well, he was pretty impressive. His moves were impressive.
So now we're at the LaRusso's, and Amanda gets a call from the school and shares with Daniel.
Daniel's looking around the dojo where Robbie was staying. Yeah. Picks up a book, History of Okinawa.
Touched by that.
Yeah. So Robbie is reading this book about Okinawa.
Because Daniel had traveled there with Mr. Miyagi.
Sure.
And that means a lot to him. And you know it's just stings what's going on. And Amanda comes running in with the news.
I just got a call from the high school.
Yeah. And they're out. Cut to out. Johnny hanging up the new flat screen with his handyman work. And he hears Carmen scream.
Well, he hears a scream and he goes, Carmen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he rushes off. So in other words, right now the parents are finding out about the hell that broke loose at West Valley High School.
Crazy. So now we're at the hospital and we see how bad Miguel looks.
They're looking at the x-rays. The doctor's giving the news to Johnny, Carmen, and Grandma. Johnny says, I'm so sorry to Carmen.
And she's
upset. Carmen says, she says, before Miguel met you, he was a sweet boy. He avoided fights. And Carmen's in tears. And she says to Johnny, looks him right in the eye, I don't ever want to see you again.
That's harsh. Because Johnny also cares for Miguel. And I think she's just pushing her anger on to Johnny. I think give it time. Let Miguel heal. We'll see. This was not malicious. I don't blame this on Johnny. Things escalated. A lot of people are at fault. But that's a lot to pin on a guy. And he cares for him so much, which is obvious in the next few scenes.
Well, look at the parallel. The night before, the Miyagi-Do leaders and the Cobra Kai leaders were having dinner and drinks and dancing. Yeah. And then the next day, their proteges are trying to kill each other.
But that's not their fault. I totally agree. It was horrible circumstance. And Carmen wants to put her anger at somebody. And Johnny's a target. He didn't raise Miguel. Johnny didn't train Miguel to be a killer. In fact, he wasn't even the instigator in this fight.
No.
So Tori had a big hand in it.
Sure.
She stirred the pot. She got it going. Robbie's rage did not help.
No. But we're going to hear Samantha, I would almost call it a confession pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My God, I'm just feeling bad for everyone. This is just a horrible for everybody. And no one is winning here.
And the doctors say the next 24 hours for Miguel are critical.
Well, hang on. There is one person I think is winning here.
Who's winning?
Dimitri.
He is winning.
Dimitri kicked Hawk's ass.
That's true.
Dimitri is the only winner in this horrible scene.
No, correction. He kicked Eli's ass.
Yes, he kicked Eli's ass.
But the next 24 hours are critical for Miguel, and we will soon find out what that means and what Miguel's future looks like.
So we're still in the hospital. Sam is getting stitches on her arm from the cuts inflicted by Tori.
Pretty deep wounds. These are some gnarly stitches.
On the inside of the bicep. Daniel and Amanda are there in the room with the nurse. And this is where Sam says, it's all my fault.
Mm.
And my God, I'm thinking as a viewer, I'm thinking, it kind of is. It sort of is.
Yeah, some of it is. A lot of it is.
I mean, I thought that when...
It's everyone's fault.
Okay, when Samantha was out there being alone by the pool, Miguel came over at Moon's party. I kind of thought that Samantha kind of fell into Miguel, and then she kind of leaned in for the kiss first.
She's also very drunk.
And then Miguel kind of went for it too, but that she initiated.
Yes.
She initiated the kiss with Miguel.
I know, but she was also very drunk.
Okay, fine. She could be drunk.
And I'm blaming everyone for having a role in this thing.
Well, then in that case, why is Samantha feeling so bad then?
Well, because she feels bad. Because in the next room or wherever, there's Miguel, and we have no idea how bad the situation is.
No.
She also cares for the person that put him there. She's conflicted.
Yeah, and she is in incredible tears. We've never seen Samantha in these tears, because Amanda says, we're going to get her expelled, referring to Tori. And Samantha, through her tears, I don't care about Tori. I just want Miguel to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so painful to watch.
And Daniel can't believe what Robbie did. He also loves Robbie. He's in shock that he would hurt someone to that degree.
He didn't train him to inflict such bodily injury on someone.
Not Miyagi-Do.
Yeah.
We cut to Johnny, who is upset. He can't speak to Miguel. Miguel's unconscious, in critical care, as far as we know. And there's that voicemail that somehow finally comes through. Johnny's phone. What are you going to do?
Yeah, from earlier.
The voicemail from earlier in the day. And he listens to it.
Yeah. And it's Miguel leaving the voicemail for Johnny. And this was when he called him when Johnny was in the car with Robbie, dropping him off at school.
Right.
And he said something like, I got girl troubles. I need your help. I'll stop by the dojo after school.
Yep.
So, you know, he was reaching out to his sensei and friend.
Yeah.
Tell him he'll see him later. And for all we know, for all Johnny knows, this is the last time he'll ever hear Miguel is on that voicemail.
And I'm sure that he played that voicemail over and over again.
I've saved voicemails for about a year.
Yeah.
I think still have a voicemail right now that I've had for 2 years.
Is that from me?
It's from you. It's from you. It's from you asking me to be a part of Let's Talk Cobra Kai.
Wow. I predicted it before the show existed. That's impressive.
No, but you know, Johnny is in pain here.
Oh my gosh.
Johnny is in big time pain.
Everybody is. Daniel, Amanda, Johnny, Carmen, Carmen's mother, Robbie, every Cobra Kai, Samantha, obviously she's devastated. It's a tough, tough day in Cobra Kai universe.
Johnny goes into an elevator, standing, waiting for it to move. Daniel walks in. They're standing side by side in silence, riding this elevator.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it may be awkward that you're standing in silence, but then the truth is, well, what are you going to say to each other? What is there to say right now?
Did you think there might be a moment where this becomes a death match?
Like they fight in an elevator?
Did you think?
I know that in fighting, they do have a concept that they call fighting in a phone booth.
Yeah.
Fighting at close proximity. There was a second where I thought they might fight in an elevator. That would be pretty impractical. Kicks would be difficult, I would imagine. But yeah, they just rode in silence.
The name of this episode is No Mercy.
You know what I think? Riding in this elevator in silence, they actually were sharing pain.
Yeah. They were both dejected, beaten, mentally, physically. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's painful to watch. You know, people, seeing people you care about in pain. And that's what we're seeing now.
Now we're at Cobra Kai Dojo. And Johnny goes to unlock the door, but finds it open.
Yeah.
And we hear noises. And Johnny goes to investigate. And he opens the door to the back room. And what do we see?
So Kreese is leading a class in the Cobra Kai dojo.
Yep.
Kreese has commandeered the Cobra Kai dojo underneath Johnny's nose.
Now, meanwhile, Kreese was kicked out of the dojo.
Yeah. Johnny says, "What the hell are you doing?" And then Kreese says, "You let them down when they needed you most. Somebody needed to remind them what it takes to win."
Yeah.
Oh, and this is, for those of you who have listened to the previous episodes, I was on the fence about Kreese. I was neutral about Kreese. I was skeptical, but I was willing to give him a chance.
I always knew this is who he was.
Kreese is a horrible person.
Oh, yeah.
And this was his plan all along, to take over Cobra Kai once again.
I thought about that. And if it wasn't his plan all along, it became his plan when he saw that Johnny had been changing. Because I think he could have done the double sensei thing if Johnny still thought the way that Kreese trained him. But Johnny started to change and started to teach the students to show mercy at certain times. And that's probably when Kreese said, "Oh, the new plan is to take over the dojo."
I've had the added benefit of recently seeing Karate Kid 3.
Yes.
And after seeing Karate Kid 3, by the way, I would recommend to listeners to watch Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2 and Karate Kid 3. I would recommend it.
Right.
Because had I watched Karate Kid 3 earlier,
right,
I would never have trusted Kreese as far as I could throw him.
Once you see that, Kreese is not to be trusted.
No. So here we are.
Yeah.
We should have seen this coming.
But not only Kreese, Hawk goes on to share that it was Johnny's fault what happened to Miguel.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny's already reeling from what happened to Miguel.
No.
And now he walks in and he feels sideswiped from his students, who he's given so much to. He has built this dojo.
What Johnny says to his former students, "After all I've done for you." And then Hawk says, "Miguel showed mercy to Robbie Keane and now he's in the hospital. If he dies, that's on you."
Exactly. Ouch.
Wow.
And that's how they feel. They have, these are young, impressionable minds. They're led by rage. And here's Kreese, who sees the opportunity to take them darker.
And Kreese says to Johnny, "I did warn you about this. I told you not to show weakness."
And so what was interesting is that he said when Johnny was out of town,
yes,
he met with Armand,
oh,
his landlord.
So this has been weeks in the making.
Who didn't care for Johnny that much, probably because the deal's not that good. He keeps trying to change things. It's a handshake deal. That's why Armand can continue to up the rent as the student body increased.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Kreese closed a real formalized deal, I'm assuming, and really took it from underneath him.
Yeah. And then the question becomes, well, where did he get the money to do this? We don't know.
Is Terry Silver in the mix?
It could be. We don't know if Terry Silver is going to pop up in season
3. Well, now there's a student body, though, and there's revenue coming in. So maybe he can just take over everything.
Okay. Then these students start handing their checks over to Kreese.
And Kreese is better at cleaning up and paying bills and doing things because Johnny had neglected some of that. And remember when he went out of town when we lost Tommy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So remember, Kreese had done some of those things, those bookkeeping things, of which Johnny's not particularly good at.
Yeah. So when Johnny was out of town at his dying friend's bedside, Kreese was taking over Cobra Kai.
Yeah. So maybe initially it was to do it with Johnny.
Yeah.
Group effort. But
I don't know.
He started to see Johnny change. Now, for the better, between you and I and everyone else.
Sure.
But not Kreese style.
No.
So he had a plan. Kreese is a snake in the grass.
Yeah.
He created Cobra Kai. This is who he is.
Well, not to mention one of his best friends and sort of mentor, even though Kreese saved Terry Silver in wartime.
Yeah.
One of his best friends and mentor, Terry Silver. And when you watch Karate Kid 3, you will see Terry Silver is a horrible person. One of the most horrible people as far as like morals ever put on. I mean, you'd have to be. I mean, who's worse than Terry Silver? He was horrible in Karate Kid 3 as a person. Just a horrible person.
Yeah, there wasn't one redeeming quality about Terry Silver.
No, because you know why? He was evil and he was okay with him being evil.
He was a sociopath.
Yeah, that's Kreese's buddy.
Yeah.
And Kreese is the one that put Terry Silver up to the horrible maneuvers in Karate Kid 3. So trust me, if you watch Karate Kid 3, you would never trust Kreese. I made the mistake of trusting Kreese or giving him one. Let's give him a chance. Let's see. No.
Not now. So rather than fight Kreese or try to have some sort of legal battle, of which he doesn't have legs to stand on, he simply says, if you want Cobra Kai, you can have it. Johnny's out.
Yeah, well, you know what? Well, because at first Johnny says, you can't do this. And Kreese responds, of course I can. I founded Cobra Kai. It belongs to me. It always has. It always will. I will never let my students lose, even if they have to learn the hard way. And then he says, one day you'll thank me for this, Johnny. Yeah. What? Thank him for taking over his dojo? Stealing his student body? Stealing his lease? That's what he's going to thank him for?
Everything's gone in an instant. His top student and quote unquote son, or pseudo son.
Yeah.
He's in critical condition, put there by his actual biological son.
Yeah.
And he feels all of this guilt. The last thing he wants to do is deal with this. He doesn't have the capacity right now. He doesn't have the students right now. He probably looks at them and says, they're all traitors. They can have each other. I'm out.
Yeah.
For the first time, maybe since Karate Kid 2, Johnny is walking away from Cobra Kai.
Well, I don't know if he has much choice. I mean, what's he going to do? Because he saw what's happening. If you look at the body language in the scene,
yeah.
Every time he gets closer to Kreese, Kreese gets closer to him. The students are behind Kreese, backing him up.
No, not even that. They're blocking the path to Kreese.
They are defensive of Kreese. They are on Kreese's side. Cobra Kai now belongs to John Kreese. Ugh, this was sickening. Sickening to watch.
So now we're back at the hospital, and Daniel and Amanda have a long overdue argument about karate.
Well, it starts with Daniel arriving, where Sam, Amanda says, we're waiting on more x-rays. The doctor thinks she may have a cracked rib. So then Amanda says, this has to stop, Daniel. Don't you see what this stupid rivalry has done? Our daughter is in the hospital. No more karate.
And he's like, Cobra Kai's going to pay for this.
Yes, yes. He wants revenge.
Immediately reset.
I'm not going to let Cobra Kai. I'm not going to let Cobra Kai get away with this. And she's like, no more karate. No more. So Amanda is done with the whole thing.
Yeah, that's it. The rivalry stops now. And Johnny's just walked away from the rivalry as well.
Oh, wow.
So next we see Johnny at the beach, and he's reflecting back on all the wonderful moments he had with Miguel.
Well, and also, since you mentioned it earlier, what's the song playing? It's like a soft, sentimental acoustic version of Cruel Summer.
Exactly.
Who sings that
one? It's like
one,
a remix.
Yeah, it's like a sentimental remix of Cruel Summer. It's
very nice.
I'd never heard that before. So yeah, that's playing, yep. And he has all these memories of Miguel, where he gives him his first Cobra Kai gi.
Yep. All the little beautiful moments along the way through Cobra Kai series. Mm-hmm. It's very touching, and Johnny's getting more and more upset. Much like we've seen Sam really upset earlier, crying. I've never seen Johnny quite this upset.
Well, I think it's also one of these moments where you have to ask yourself, well, what am I going to do?
And this is a big life moment.
Now? It's not like, oh, Daniel LaRusso pissed me off. Let me go spray paint a dick on his billboard.
No.
This isn't like that.
He doesn't have rage in him.
It's like, what now?
Now my son's talking to me, which is great, and Robbie, and maybe there's something brewing there, but he just injured, and we don't know where Robbie is, by the way.
No.
And he just injured Miguel, who I've grown incredibly close to. I did train Miguel. Maybe Carmen is right. Maybe I am to blame for this.
Yeah.
Am I mad at my son? Like, major confliction here.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's one of those things, which is like in the Bible, I think, where they call sins of the father. Like, that stuff carries down. So this 35-year-old stuff from Daniel and Johnny gets carried down to their children.
Yeah. And he's realizing it. As is Daniel. Well, Amanda definitely senses it, as does Carmen. But Johnny's feeling it. And now we cut to Daniel very quickly. And he's taking down a plaque of Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, it's a picture of Mr. Miyagi on the wall. Daniel looks like he's in near tears. He says to the picture, saying like to Miyagi, "I did my best. I thought I was doing the right thing. Yeah. I'm sorry." So in other words, Daniel's basically giving up.
And I believe that's at Miyagi-Do. I think he's probably taken Amanda's words and literally is closing the doors on Miyagi-Do Dojo.
Yeah, just shutting the whole operation down.
That's it.
For profession and hobby, just everything, just shut it down.
Yeah.
Wow, painful to see.
Now we're back to Johnny, who is, by the way, he is drinking during the scene. We should point that out.
Well, when he first got out of the car, he was drinking out of a bottle out of a brown bag.
I bet you I know what was inside that brown bag.
Coors Banquet. But it seemed like a taller bottle, though. Well, maybe it's Coors Banquet tall bottle.
40.
Okay.
So he throws the bottle at his car. Not just at his car, but at the Cobra Kai logo.
Yeah, at the symbol on his car, yeah.
And then his phone is making more notification noises.
Sure, chimey things.
So what's he do?
He just chucks it onto the sand. Just chucks it towards the waves.
And then he throws his car keys in the window.
Yeah.
Out of frame. He's gone.
He walks off. And I'm thinking, where is he going? What is he going to do? I mean, he's basically ditching his car, ditching his phone, ditching his keys that went with the car.
Yeah.
Where is he going? What's he going to do? What does he have planned? Does he have any plan?
No. Maybe he doesn't even want to go home that close to Carmen, feels the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing. This is like...
Can't go to the dojo.
This is like Karate Kid 3 when Kreese was wandering the streets of Los Angeles.
Yeah. This will be now Johnny just wandering. Or unless, hang on, there was a part of me thinking that he does have some sort of plan. We just don't know what it is yet.
I hope so.
What is he going to do?
So, Sal, as we begin to pan to Johnny's phone in the sand, did you have any idea what was coming?
No way did I even expect this and had completely forgotten about it.
As did I. As did I.
It's a message on his phone from Facebook, one of those little Facebook notifications. Allie Mills Schwarber has sent you a friend request.
Facebook friend request.
Yeah. Yeah, because the message is from Facebook. Allie Mills Schwarber has sent you a Facebook friend request. Holy cow. What?
Unbelievable.
Is this horrible timing or is this perfect timing?
One and the same. Because in an earlier episode, he had mistakenly sent her a message.
Yeah, because the girl at the bar bumped his arm and he sent the message by mistake. You're right, but he didn't friend request her.
No.
So she then must have saw the message and friend requested him.
Right.
Are we going to see Elizabeth Shue in season 3? Are we going to see Terry Silver in season 3?
So many questions.
What are they going to do? How are they going to wrap this all up?
So what are they going to do? Where's the story going? Johnny no longer runs Cobra Kai. There is no Miyagi-Do.
No.
Where is
Robbie
the story
has run off.
Going? Robbie's run off.
Where's Tori?
Samantha's recovering from heartbreak and from stitches.
And possibly a broken rib.
And everyone's got to rally around Miguel at this point in time.
And you know that Hawk wants revenge on Dimitri, because I don't think that being kicked in the face and slammed into a trophy case is going to sit well with Hawk.
That is a very good point. Of anyone who still has rage after the fight of the century, it is Hawk, who is in that dojo, digging down, ready to fight. As Kreese's new disciples are, they're ready to go at war again, but what are they fighting for?
So, okay, if there's no more Miyagi-Do, but meanwhile you have this now new uprising of Cobra Kai led by John Kreese, what's going to happen? Who are they going to fight? Who's their enemy now?
They're going to be bullies, much like they were in The Karate Kid.
No, they're going to need some motorcycles.
Oh, brother.
I am emotionally exhausted and emotionally spent, and I just need to know where they're going to go with this in season 3. Who's coming? Who's going? Who's going to appear? Who's going to reappear? There is one thought that I had. There's one thought that I had at the conclusion of this season, after these two seasons. Johnny walks off, right? Ditches his keys, ditches his phone, ditches his car. Where is he going? There's only one place I think he could go. And that is to meet up with his old Cobra Kai crew, the same guys that he hung out with at the campfire around the death of his old friend Tommy. That's the only place I think, like, somehow just walk towards that, meet up with them somehow, go towards them. That's the only place I think, the only location he could go is to meet up with his old buddies. He has nowhere else to go now.
You could be right.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense that he ditches his car, but I mean, I don't know where else he could be going.
It wasn't a great decision. He's not flush with cash. He, even not wanting that car anymore, he could have sold it. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Allie lives in Colorado, and she's married.
And he doesn't know that she just friend requested
him. And he has no idea that she's reached out to him. I don't know. I don't know. He's going to wander for a little bit.
When is the premiere of season 3?
Well, the last two seasons came out either in late April or early May.
Okay.
So I'm assuming around the same time.
So spring of 2020.
Right. Spring of 2020.
All right. We got some time for brumation.
We have time to reflect, much like Johnny and Daniel.
Well, we're all on the same page now. We're all in the same place. Every one of us, wow. Jason and I, all the listeners, we're all in the same place, all waiting for season 3. Hey, show us what you got.
Well,
we're waiting.
It was an incredible episode, a great way to wrap up season 2 to an amazing series. I'm so proud and happy to have fallen in love with Cobra Kai and to be doing a podcast about it. And we will wait patiently for season 3 to launch so we can continue the podcast, continue Let's Talk Cobra Kai.
I will be waiting very impatiently.
Yeah, you will be.
What I'm going to be doing, one thing I do to help myself emotionally is immerse myself in interviews and trivia and behind the scenes.
Yeah, do that.
That's what I will do to appease myself.
And we will at least be tackling one, if not more, of our special episodes to keep us on the Karate Kid path, if you will. And yeah, great time, Sal.
All right. See you all at season 3.
So thank you so much for listening. And we'd greatly appreciate it if you could subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you have the time to leave us a short review, it would truly help us as well.
We also encourage our listeners to follow us on social media at Let's Talk Cobra Kai for Facebook and Instagram, and at Talk Cobra Kai on Twitter. And if you have any questions, that's a great place to message us.
Lastly, you can now become an official supporter of Let's Talk Cobra Kai on Patreon, and you can stream every episode as well as our other shows from our website, which is justcuriousmedia.com. Thanks so much.
No mercy.